Continuing with the same subject from last week, knowing messianic prophecy. And this week, knowing the direct messianic prophecies. Knowing messianic prophecy is very important, very helpful, very beneficial for many reasons. Knowing messianic prophecy builds us up in our most holy faith. The prophecies demonstrate that the Bible is a supernatural book inspired by God. Only God, who created time and is beyond time, can give accurate and detailed predictions to people describing events that take place hundreds of years in advance. Only the Bible has prophecies like this. No other book on earth. Knowing messianic prophecy helps us identify the Messiah who alone can save us from Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. And we need to be saved from Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. Only the Messiah can do that, and the messianic prophecies help us identify the Messiah. Knowing messianic prophecy protects us from being deceived by false messiahs, and being deceived by a false messiah is incredibly destructive. There have been many false messiahs in Israel's history, and the true Messiah, Yeshua, warned us that there will be more to come, especially as we get closer and closer to his return. Knowing messianic prophecy keeps us focused on who we need to be focused on, Messiah Yeshua himself. He is the main subject of the Word of God, and he is the focus of the prophecies. Knowing messianic prophecy reinforces the truth that the New Testament is the continuation of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, that the new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. It's so important for us to understand that the Bible is one book, and we need to understand and appreciate this one book from start to finish. Knowing messianic prophecy helps us with evangelism. It is powerful when we inform others about the prophecies about the Messiah, because none of the other world religions have prophecies about their leaders like we do about Messiah Yeshua. Last week we considered the indirect messianic prophecies, which are also known as types or shadows. Today, we consider the direct messianic prophecies that apply directly to the Son of God. They inform us that the Messiah would come from a very special line. He would be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David. The Lord had said to Abraham, Genesis 12, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The Messiah, who would bless all peoples on earth, would be a descendant of faithful Abraham. Abraham had many sons. God chose Isaac to be Abraham's spiritual heir, not Ishmael, the oldest son he had with Hagar, nor any of the sons Abraham had with his other wife, Keturah. The Lord said to Abraham, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. The Messiah would be a descendant of Isaac. Isaac had two sons, and God chose the younger son, Jacob, not the older son, Esau, to be the spiritual heir. The Lord said to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. The Messiah, who would bless all peoples on earth, would be a descendant of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. From those 12, the right to rule Israel and the nations was given to Judah. Jacob said to Judah in a prophecy, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. The Messiah would come from Judah. The tribe of Judah had many families. From those many families, the family of David was chosen to bring forth the Messiah. The Lord said to David, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. The Messiah would come from David and rule Israel and the nations forever. The prophecies tell us that the Messiah had to come from a very special line. He had to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David. Of course, Yeshua was. The prophecies tell us where the Messiah would be born. He would be born in the Holy Land of the holy people and of the many cities in Israel. He would be born in a little one, Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Micah 5. Of course, the one whose origins are from of old, who is older than the universe itself, the one who is the bread of life, who is able to nourish us physically and spiritually, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. The prophecies tell us when Messiah would arrive. He had to arrive before 70 AD, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed the second time, along with the city of Jerusalem. The angel Gabriel gave Daniel this prophecy after Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed the first time. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, the Messiah, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one, the Messiah, will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Yeshua is that anointed one, the Messiah, who died before Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed the second time by the Romans in 70 AD. The Messiah had to come before 70 AD. The prophecies tell us Messiah would be a prophet like Moses. Deuteronomy 18, Moses told us, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name.'" Yeshua is that prophet like Moses, but is far greater than Moses, as the builder of the house is greater than the house, and as the son and the heir of the house is greater than the servant who works in the house. Yeshua is the prophet who most clearly heard from God and most authoritatively spoke for God. We must listen to him, or God will call us to account. The prophecies tell us that God would use Messiah to make a covenant, a contract, a deal, an arrangement with Israel and with the nations. God the Father, speaking prophetically to his glorious yet suffering servant, said this: "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Isaiah 42. God would use the Messiah to make a new covenant with Israel and give the nations truth and salvation. And then there is this great prophecy about the new covenant found in Jeremiah. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law, my Torah, my teaching in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Jeremiah 31. The covenant that came through Moses at Sinai was a temporary covenant that provided temporary atonement. And it is a broken covenant, my covenant which they broke, although I was a faithful husband to them, says the Lord. This is a broken covenant that can no longer provide any atonement or any salvation. The new covenant that came through Messiah Yeshua is a covenant that enables us to know God at a very deep level in our minds and in our hearts. It provides a personal relationship with God. I will be their God, they will be my people. It provides everlasting atonement. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Yeshua made that new covenant. New Testament means new covenant. The prophecies tell us how the greatest king who will ever live will enter his capital city. Messiah, the King of Kings, would enter Jerusalem triumphantly, yet humbly, riding on a donkey. That's unusual. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Of course, King Yeshua entered Jerusalem in exactly that way. The prophecies tell us Messiah would be rejected by the majority of Israel, especially by the leaders. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? A question designed to elicit the response, not many have believed the message. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. And Psalm 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yeshua was rejected by the majority of the chosen nation, especially by the nation's leaders, the builders. The fact that the majority did not believe in him and still don't believe in him does not disqualify Yeshua from being the Messiah. In fact, the opposite is true. It was necessary for Yeshua to be rejected by the majority of the Jewish people to fulfill the prophecies to be the Messiah. The prophecies tell us Messiah would be silent before unjust oppressors. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yeshua was arrested by Israel's leaders, and when given a trial by the Roman governor, he remained strangely silent before his accusers and his judge. The prophecies tell us that even though the Messiah would be an innocent, peaceful man who spoke the truth, he would be tried, condemned, and executed, and his death would be connected to the wicked and the rich. Also, Isaiah 53, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yeshua was persecuted, oppressed, arrested, mistreated, judged unfairly, executed between two criminals, and buried in a rich man's tomb, exactly as the prophecies said. The prophecies tell us how Messiah would die. While he was dying, he would be surrounded by enemies and mocked and taunted. Psalm 22, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yeah, that's mocking, that's taunting. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. People stare and gloat over me. Messiah Yeshua was mocked and taunted by powerful adversaries while dying on the cross. The prophecies tell us that the Messiah would die a very public death. His death would be accompanied by great pain to his body and by great thirst, and with public humiliation. While he was dying, people would gamble for his clothes. Psalm 22 again, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Yeshua died a very painful death by crucifixion. His hands and feet were pierced. He was very thirsty. He was surrounded by enemies who gloated over him. He was stripped of his clothes, and soldiers cast lots for his garment. The prophecies tell us Messiah would die, but God would raise him from the dead. Isaiah 53, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53 again. Another prophecy about Messiah's resurrection. Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, to Sheol, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. This was written by David, but does not refer to David. David's body decayed after he died. This refers to David's greater descendant, the Messiah, whose body did not decay. Another prophecy about Messiah's resurrection. Psalm 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. Yeshua was rejected and killed by the builders, Israel's leaders. But the Lord overruled their wicked decision and restored Yeshua to life, making him the cornerstone, the foundation for our lives. When Israel is about to be destroyed by the world's invading armies, the Lord intervenes and saves our little nation with the greatest salvation in all of history. Our unexpected response to this great salvation? They will look upon me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Zechariah 12. the Jewish people will realize that the one we pierced, the one we put to death, is the one who just saved us from annihilation. That means resurrection. Since God would not resurrect a false Messiah, a liar, a deceiver, a wicked man, a sinner, Yeshua's resurrection lets us know that Yeshua has God's seal of approval. Yeshua's resurrection validates him and all of his teachings and his life and his ministry. Yeshua's resurrection makes him absolutely unique in the history of the world and puts him on a level far higher than any of the prophets of Israel or any other religious leaders from the nations. And Yeshua's resurrection makes it possible for those who know him and become loyal to him for themselves to be resurrected one day. The prophecies tell us that the Messiah would first come to his own people, but his impact would go far beyond his own Jewish people. He would have a worldwide impact. Isaiah 49, and now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant. This is Yeshua actually speaking to us in Isaiah 49. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, God says, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Messiah would have a worldwide impact. And Isaiah 52, the preface to Isaiah 53, informs us about the suffering and rejected Messiah's worldwide impact. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations. Sprinkle in the sense of providing cleansing and atonement. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for what they were not told they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand. Yeshua is by far the most famous Jewish person who has ever lived. And many have said, and I agree with them, that Yeshua is the most famous person in all of history who has ever lived, because he has impacted the world more than any other human being. Because of Yeshua, Western civilization changed dramatically and for the better. Because of Yeshua, Christianity has spread throughout the world. Because of Yeshua, people everywhere read our Jewish Bible, love our Jewish prophets and Jewish apostles, are interested in our land, Israel. Because of Yeshua, the world uses a seven-day week. Because of Yeshua, the world dates history from his birth. Yeshua truly has had a worldwide impact, just as the prophecies said the Messiah would. So, the Messianic prophecies tell us that the Messiah would come from a very special line. He had to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and David. He had to be born in Bethlehem. He had to arrive before 70 AD. He had to be a great prophet like Moses. He had to be the mediator of a new covenant. That this greatest of kings would enter his capital, Jerusalem, triumphantly, yet humbly riding on a donkey. That he would also be rejected by the majority of Israel, especially by the leaders. That he would be put on trial, be silent before his unjust accusers, condemned, executed. His death would be connected to the wicked and the rich, even though he was an innocent, nonviolent, peaceful man who spoke the truth. That while he was dying, he would be mocked and taunted. That his death would be accompanied by pain and thirst. His hands and feet would be pierced. And he would be humiliated while he was dying, by being stripped of his clothes, and people would gamble for his clothes, that he would die, but God would raise him from the dead, and that he would have a worldwide impact. Does that sound like anyone you've ever heard of? And there are other prophecies. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. He is that special human being who will destroy the devil and reverse all the damage Satan has done. In Numbers, he is the star who comes from Jacob and defeats Israel's enemies. In Isaiah, he is the great light which first shines in Galilee. And he is the child who is born to us, the son who is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. He is the shoot which comes up from the stump of Jesse, the branch which comes from his roots, which will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. He will be the perfect ruler, wise and righteous, protecting the poor and the needy, punishing the wicked. In his day, nature will be transformed. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. He will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In his day, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch who comes from David and who saves the Jewish people. He is Adonai Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, fully God, fully man. In the book of Psalms, he is God's son who has given the nations as his inheritance, the ends of the earth as his possession, who rules them with a rod of iron. He is the son to be kissed, and the one who refuses to kiss him will be destroyed. He is David's Lord, to whom Adonai, the Lord, says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And he is an eternal priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is one person, and one person in all of history who has fulfilled these prophecies. And that is Yeshua. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Lord. He is the one and only Savior of the world. Do not ignore these prophecies. And even more importantly, do not ignore him. Be blessed by knowing the messianic prophecies. Be strengthened in your most holy faith. Be encouraged. And won't you please share these great truths with others?